All right, we are ready to start the summer session of Moedon Ivri, Club Hebrew. Very happy to see you guys all made it safe back from your break. And we're actually going to continue with, we're about the middle, of chapter 14, 1 Samuel chapter 14. And just to back up, through verse 29 we had read last time, and if you will recall, the Philistines and Israel was engaging in battle, and Israel had kind of the Philistines on the run, but Saul had made all the people swear an oath that they wouldn't eat anything that day so that he could take vengeance on his enemies. They wouldn't even stop at McDonald's for a snack, no drive-thrus, nothing, no chicken nuggets, you couldn't have a thing. Remember though, as background to the story, Jonathan came to the field and there was honey flowing, and he hadn't heard what his father had said, so he dipped his staff in it and put it to his mouth, and his eyes lit up. Right? The low blood sugar was solved and he was ready to go. And he even says, hey Bill, come on in. And he even says at the end, you know, I'm sure that everyone else was just really frightened at what he had done. And he said at the end of verse 29, look, my eyes certainly have become light. In other words, he's brightened up evidently. He's gotten more energy. For I tasted a little of this honey. That was where we put it at the end of verse 29. All right. So we pick it up at verse 30 and find out what happens in the aftermath. So we're reading at 1 Samuel 14, verse 30. Okay. Jonathan continues to talk here. It's Jonathan speaking. Notice the verb there, akal, and you have the same verb root in front of it. Notice the infinitive absolute. So here you have the classical kind of order, call, infinitive absolute, followed by the finite call, perfect. And notice a call means to eat, and infinitive absolute would add emphasis. You know, he's committed to the truth of what he's saying. Certainly have eaten is what you would how you would translate it. The loo may cause some problems for y'all, because you're more familiar with lamed aleph, meaning with the vowel lo, meaning not. This is a particle that's used, this loo, sometimes spelled with the aleph, as just as commonly spelled without it, just the lamed vav, u, lu. Notice it'd be pronounced the same. So in this case, the aleph would be a mater letter, like a vowel mater letter. But anyway, you have that full spelling. And notice in the Masoretic note, it's spelled this way, I think, three times. All right. And it is a particle for contrary to fact conditionals. So, would have is how you might want to translate that. See, contrary to fact is, if someone had done this, this would have happened. But they didn't, so it didn't. Remember, you probably are more familiar with that in Greek. So the op key, op is but, and now the key again strongly asserts what he's saying. So again, he's indicating his attitude towards this statement. But, kind of certainly, if the people had certainly eaten today, see, mishalal, from the spoil, oivav, of his enemies. And a better translation would probably be something like, oh that, so he's expressing a strong wish, but oh that the people Hayom today had eaten from the spoil of their enemies, which they found. Notice that in Hebrew those are all singular, because Am is singular, it's collective, and in English I'm just translating it with the plural to make that a little smoother for us. So it'd be, but if only, or would that, the people had eaten today from the spoil of their enemies which they found. Okay? Kiatalo ravtamaka bapelishtim. For now, lo rav tamaka. Okay, notice the verb ravta. What's the root? It's from rava. It's one of those third hey roots, correct. It's a call perfect third feminine singular from rava, which means to be great or to be numerous. And the subject is maka. Notice it's a feminine noun. The root is naka, to strike. And here you've added a mem to the root. The nun is assimilated and you get the noun, which means the striking or the defeat, the slaughter. See? For now, the slaughter not great, is not great. So the slaughter against the Philistines or among the Philistines is not great. See, is not large, because the people were too tired. That's what is being implied. So the whole verse, but oh that the people had eaten today from the spoil of his enemies, which they found. For now, Atta, the makkah, the blow, is not great against the Philistines. In other words, it's a lesser victory than they could have had. Okay. Does anyone have any questions about the syntax there? Just remember that lu, contrary to fact, or kind of expresses a wish contrary to what is in fact happening. Alright? Verse 31, we get this little aside. Vayaku bayom hahu bapelishtim mimikmas ayalona vayaf ha'ameod. Now the people had struck. Vayaku, what's the root? Vayaku, the first word. Naka, very good. So notice we get two for the price of one here. You have maka, the noun, and now the root naka, to strike. And notice that the nun has assimilated from this hip field form. So the nun has dropped out of the root, and the third root letter, hey, has dropped out. Why is the hey dropped out? Anyone remember?
Sure.
Good, because you have that vocalic. The vocalic ending on the, notice the oo ending, when you have that third root letter, not always, but in standard Hebrew, leaves. So you're left with one root letter, the kaf. So you better know the word, or else you're gonna be in a world of hurt, as you all know. So they struck bayom hahu. They struck in that day against the Philistines, from Michmash, that's a city, to Ayalona. Notice the locative hey at the end of Ayalon. Okay, so from Michmash to Ayalona, they struck the Philistines. Vayaf ha'ameod. And the people, or but, I would probably say but, the people were what? Ya'af. Were, you can imagine, tired. Ya'af, exhausted. But the people were exhausted. Me'od, notice that that's an adverb describing this process. Were extremely tired, or were extremely exhausted. Okay? That's important for what happens next.
Is that a directional hay on that?
Ayalona. Yes. It's a directional hay. From Michmash to... And they could have noticed that he, in Hebrew, you could have had El, right? El Ayalon. But here, and we've seen it both ways in our text in Samuel. All right? Verse 32. Yeah. Yes, please.
Nakah.
Yes.
The new went into the Dagesh, right?
Right.
In the
Kah. Right. Notice that you know that because you have the Dagesh preceded by a short vowel. That Patak under the Yud tells you that it's an assimilated letter, and by and large, the first letter you should think of assimilated is a Nun. Those Nuns, remember, with Shvaz under them, assimilate. When there's a vowel under the Nun, it doesn't assimilate. Okay? Good. Verse 32. Vayas ha'am el ha'shalal, vayikhutzon u vakaru v'nevakar, vayishchatu artsa. Okay. Vayas, you know, as the root asa, to do or to make. Call, perfect vav, consecutive, third masculine singular. And he made, or and he did. But that doesn't make any sense here, so you won't find that in any translations. Notice in your note that there's a kare reading. If you go to the margin on the right-hand side, notice you see Vav, Yud, Ein, Tav. Everybody see that? in the Koray reading, Vav, Yud, Ein, Tav. The root that they want you to read instead of Ya'as is Ya'at, Ya'at. And it's a root, Ein, Yud, Tav, which means to... Does everybody see that? Okay, and so that root means to rush furiously upon. And the reason, you'll see why, the reason they use this root is because it occurs in 1 Samuel 15, verse 19 in a similar context. So note it, so you'll find that almost every translation translating it with that word as the Koray. Because notice what the context is. And the people, Ha'am, or the troops, probably Am, you know, in the context of war, should be translated troops. And the troops rushed furiously to Hashalal. Notice that pointing. Notice you have a patach without a letter on it, on top of it. Okay, why? Because in this manuscript, the hay is not there. But they want you to read the hay. So again, if you go out to the margin, you'll see the Koray reading, Hashalal. They won't change the manuscript, even in the face of what seems to be an obvious mistake. Okay? So what they will do is suggest, well, they'll put what you are supposed to read out in the margin. And again, 32b, notice a number of manuscripts have the hay anyway, so there's textual evidence for it. You just don't have it in the Leningrad Codex. Okay? So the troops rushed furiously to the spoil. See, notice the Ya'as just simply wouldn't make sense. And the people made to the spoil. You know, unless you want to translate it, and they made for the spoil, like we do in English. But in Hebrew, the word doesn't work that way. Okay? Okay. And they took. What's the root of Vayikhu? Yeah, from Lakak. See, Lakak, the Yud, the Lamed has assimilated here. And they took the Tzon, the sheep, Uvakar, and the cattle, Uvenevakar, and the calves. Okay, so they took sheep and cattle and calves, by Yishchatu, and they slaughtered. Okay, Shachat, and they... Now notice how it's used here. It's Yishchatu Artsa, and they slaughtered them on the ground. Okay, they slaughtered them on the ground. Okay? Yes, that's a directional hay. They slaughtered them on the ground. Now think about that as we read the next phrase. Okay? Vayokal, and the people, Ha'am, and the troops ate al ha-dam, on or upon or with the blood. Okay, so what's happening here? What's that?
Steak tartar?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The people were so famished, okay. Notice that if you slaughter an animal on the ground, the blood is not going to drain out. And so, remember from the law in Numbers, the blood was supposed to be drained out. You were not supposed to eat meat with blood in it. So, they weren't taking the time to do that. They slaughtered it, you know, they found the sheep, slaughtered it right there, evidently, and started eating.
So, this is unimproved.
Evidently, they didn't cook it. Yeah, they didn't take time to cook. They were so hungry that they ate it raw, I guess, or maybe only partially cooked. I don't know. But they ate it upon the blood or with the blood, most translations will say. Okay? All right. Any other questions about that? All right, verse 33 then. Vayagidu leshaul lemor. And they reported it from Nagad. Notice that that's a hiphil, very common word. Hiphil, third masculine plural from Nagad. And they reported it. And notice the subject is impersonal. See, in Hebrew, it's they reported. In English, we would say it was reported to Saul. See, and you'll find a lot of translations translating it that way because they're interpreting it as an impersonal subject. Okay? So, and they reported to Saul, Lamor, as follows. Hine, look, Ha'am Chotim Ladonai. Look, the people are sinning. Participle call, participle masculine, plural. The people are sinning against Yahweh. le'ekol, by eating. Notice you have an infinitive construct with the lamed, okay, and tells you how they're sinning specifically. By eating al hadam, with the blood. Bayomer, and Saul said, Bayomer, he said, Begad Tem, that's from the root, what's the root here? Bagad. Bagad. It is a call perfect second masculine plural. Katal Tem, Katal Ten, here's Begad Tem. And it means to act faithlessly or treacherously, unfaithfully. So you have acted unfaithfully. And he said, you have acted unfaithfully. Pause. Golu Eli Hayom Evan Gedolah. This is the word for roll. It's from Galal. Galal. So this is a call imperative. One of those geminate verbs. Galal. To roll. And it's roll to me Hayom today and Evan Gedolah. Roll to me a big stone. Okay. Megillah, we get our word for scroll. Megillah from Galal. All right. Golgotha, place of the skull, from Galal. That'll help you remember that word. Okay. So notice Saul kind of starts to exert a kind of priestly function here. All right. Any questions about 33? I just realized this great irony in the text that we'll be coming to, but anyway, we'll get there. Okay, verse 34. Vayomer Shaul putsu va'am va'amar tem lahem hagishu elai ish shoro ve'ish se'ehu u'shechat tem baze va'akal tem. Okay, and Saul said putsu. That's from the root putz. Putz, to disperse or to scatter. A call imperative, hollow verb. Okay, putz. So, scatter ba'am among the people. Ba'am artem, notice following an imperative, the ba'am plus perfect. Scatter or disperse among the people and say to them, so I'm going to translate all these ba'ams plus perfects here as imperatives. Okay. Scatter among the people and say to them, hagishu elai, bring near from nagash. This is a hifil imperative from nagash. The call meaning is to draw near, to come near. Here the hifil, to bring near. Hagishu, bring to me each one shoro, his bull. So it would be something like this. Each of you, and you say to them, each of you bring to me his shoro, his bull, and each set yehu, his lamb. The noun you will find set yehu under is set. Set for lamb. Okay? Each bring his lamb, ushechatem, and slaughter, and the subject or the object is understood, them, bazeh, in this place. Slaughter them here. In other words, the stone. Ba'akal tem, and eat them. And then eat them, probably we would say. Okay? Velo techetu, and do not sin. Simple call, imperfect, plus low. And you must not sin, or do not sin. Notice the low with it. Kind of a use for more long-standing legislation versus all. And do not sin against Yahweh, le'ekol, by eating el hadam, with the blood. Notice again, you see, as we've seen in this text before, the interchange of al and el. Okay? Vayagishu kol ha'am, so all the people brought near. Again, from what's the root of Yagishu? Nagash again. Good. So just compare that with what we saw in verse 34. Hagishu. Alright, and you'll get kind of two forms of the hifil, the imperative and the vav consecutive. So all the people brought near, each one his bull in his hand, halayla, that night. Halayla. Remember, Hayom is today. Halayla at the nighttime. Vayishchatu, and they slaughtered them sham there. All right. This is kind of an interesting practice that we're seeing now. Notice that it's not saying anything about sacrifice. Okay. Any questions through 34?
So is this sort of a do-over kind of an idea here? I mean, you didn't do it right the first time, let's do it again.
Evidently.
Reboot the system, so to speak.
Well, evidently, yeah. I mean, you know, how is Saul going to restrain the people? I mean, they're hungry, and part of it's his fault.
Yeah, right.
And so evidently you have this, okay, you know, you're right. There is it seems to be this hazy recognition of Saul and what you need to do. And you kind of see this through him. He's kind of loose with everything, right?
Yeah.
And so his people, the troops under him, are kind of unrestrained. You always get this sense of Saul's authority not being where it should, and Saul not being on the ball and recognizing things. We've kind of seen that right from the start. Remember how Saul was hiding when he was made king, and how he didn't know about the man of God and what the custom was and all those kinds of things. So here you see this again in the leader of the people.
So is he doing this for the benefit of the people in terms of them remembering how to do it or what not to do? Or is he doing it to appease God somehow?
Oh, I think that that's hard to read between the lines too much, but I think that when he was made aware of what needs to be done, he tried to do it right.
Okay. So
Samuel wasn't around.
The people, basically.
Maybe the trained the people probably all knew. They were just unrestrained. I think that it's not that they had forgotten so much. But notice they didn't have Samuel around. He didn't have another prophet or anyone else to help him through it. So he kind of just does this. I mean, that's my impression, at least, I'm going through. Okay. Notice this in connection with verse 35. By Yibin Shaul a Mizbeach La'Adonai. Then Saul built from Ba-Yiven, the root is Ba-Na. Notice you have a Vav consecutive call, third masculine singular. Then Saul built a Mizbeach to the Lord. Pause. Okay. Now it gets a little weird, hard syntactically. Oto, Heichel, live note, Mizbeach La'Adonai. Let's look at the verb, Heichel. That is from Chalal. The hiphil of halal, you probably know it, means to begin. Hiphil, perfect, third masculine singular, to begin. And notice that it goes right with the infinitive construct, live note. So notice you have two forms from the root ba'na, ba' consecutive imperfect, and now the call infinitive construct. The third hey verbs always have that ote ending, remember, live note. So he began to build, okay? A Mizbeach to the Lord. So notice it's he began to build as an altar to the Lord. And most translations interpret this something like, this was the first altar Saul built to the Lord. Alright? So you can do it, understand something like this. With it, namely with this altar, referring back to it, with it, he began to build altar, as a collective, altars to the Lord. Okay, that's kind of a way to make it a little smoother syntactically. But notice that for us, it doesn't... in English, you have to make some adjustments to make it make sense of what the Hebrew seems to be conveying here. Okay. Any questions about anything in verse 36? All right, we'll do one more verse here. Vayomer Shaul... Nerdachare Pelishtim Laila U Navo Navoza Bahem Ad Or Haboker. Then Saul said, Nerda. What's the root? Can you guys get this? You know the root. It's a very common word. You know two letters of it, Resh Dalet. Yeah, very good. See, once you recognize two roots, it comes. It's from Yarad. Notice it's a first Yud. And so you get that seire under the performative. Yashav, remember Yashav, the imperfect is Yeshev. And the first common plural would be, of Yashav, would be Neshev. So this would be Nerad. What do you have here? The cohortative. That's why you get that hey, Nerda. And that kind of obscures it from your view, right? You guys were thinking of the paradigms. You don't run across this kind of form too often. So it's a simple call, cohortative, first common plural from Yarad. Without the cohortative, it's Ne-Rei. With the cohortative, it's Ner-Da. So Saul said, let us go down, Acharei Pelishtim, after them Philistines. Lila, tonight. Venavoza. Okay, if you add a coordinative with Nerda, you can bet that this is a cohortative, and the hay on there tells you that. And now you have to struggle with the form. You got two root letters, bait and zine, and it's actually from bait, zine, zine. Bazaz, to plunder. Bazaz. And the nun is the first common plural prefix, you know, the performative. Okay, so let us go down after the Philistines tonight and let's plunder them. Plunder them. Okay, here's the only place, by the way, where the object after this word bazaz is followed with a bait. Usually it's the et or nothing. So notice, one other time it's a min, and so notice that your footnote suggests, and there's a few manuscripts that have mayhem, and because 2 Chronicles 28:8, let us take from them. Okay, but I would just leave it. Saul has maybe an unusual vernacular way of speaking, kind of a dialect. You've noticed this in a couple peculiarities of what he says.
So haven't we seen this earlier with Nebuchadnezzar and the Philistines, where we have the base there as well? I mean, one would kind of expect with
Yeah, maybe we're more used to seeing one thing, right? It just shows you how flexible these prepositions are with verbs.
But it almost seems to be a convention in this section, the use of they.
Maybe so. I don't know. Yeah, that could be a very good observation. It'd be interesting maybe to trace it and see where it occurs and who's talking when it occurs. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know how conventional or how widespread it is. Yeah. So let's plunder them, odd or, until the light of the morning. So let's just do it all night. Party all night. It's kind of funny what he says here.
Yeah.
You know, let's go down after the Philistines tonight and let's plunder them up until the light of the morning. Okay. Velo nasher bahem, and we will not leave nasher among them an ish, a man. Okay? Bayomru, kol, and they said, kol hatov, everything, no, all the good, the totality of good, all which is good, be'eineka, in your eyes, ase, ends with an imperative, do. Go for it. And they say this a couple times. So, there's Saul. He wants to go. Kind of funny. Any questions through verse 36? All right, good. We'll take it up beginning at verse 37 next week. Thanks for coming.